This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there was a man named Louis, and Louis was shipwrecked and lived alone on a deserted island for many years. And then finally, one day, Louis was rescued. But before leaving the island, he had made quite the home there. He gave the rescue party a little tour. He said, "Look, I built a house for myself right over there. And here's the barn. And across the way there, that's the church I worshiped in." One of the rescuers asked, "Well, what's that building over there?" And Louis sort of grinned and he said, "Well, that's the church I used to belong to." So even a man all alone by himself on a deserted island managed to find divisions of himself in the church. That's where we encounter this Paul's letter to the Corinthians today. The church in Corinth, I believe, can be a wonderful help, so to speak, for the church of today. If anything, it should give us hope that no matter how chaotic or unruly it might get, God is still with us and working through us. Paul is frustrated, you see, because people have decided already, a brand new church, that there are divisions among them. "Well, I was baptized by this person. Well, I was baptized by this person, and I was baptized by this person, so therefore we are members of a different tribe." But Paul says no. Paul says it's under the banner of Jesus that we are all united. It seems that so many years later, centuries, the church is still trying to figure out how to be united under that banner of Jesus. So I love how in our readings today, this is sort of plopped in the middle, because we're surrounded with all sorts of hope in the rest of our scripture. We start with Isaiah, remembering that the theme of the season of Epiphany, or this time after Christmas as we lead into Lent, the theme of it is light. The theme of it is revelation. Think of that little light bulb that comes on in those cartoons when someone has an idea, or they recognize something, or something finally makes sense. And it's interesting today that because today we're just a month after the shortest day of the year. So while Isaiah is saying a great light will come, here we are finally moving into where the days are getting a little longer. Just out of curiosity, I did a little research. Just how many more minutes of sunlight do we get? Well, in March, we'll be gaining about 20 minutes over the course of a week. But you see, Isaiah isn't talking about this light that slowly grows over time, like the days that we will notice gradually getting a little longer. And we look at the clock and it's 5:35 and there's still light, and it's 5:43 and there's still light. Next thing you know, it's 7:08. That's not the kind of light Isaiah is talking about. Rather, this light is more like our neighbors in Alaska. In Alaska, they get an average of about 7 minutes a day of light, which means they get about an hour in a week. It happens so quickly for those who live there that it often creates quite a jolt to their routines. Whereas we gradually lean into longer and longer days, after a week they realize they've forgotten that it was dinner time because it's still light outside. So their routines are jolted and their patterns of life are jolted. That's the brightness of the light that Isaiah is referring to. That there would be a jolt, that our routines would be upended, that our patterns of life would begin to revolve around this new light that we come to know as Jesus Christ. And Isaiah proclaims that it'll shine on the people that are walking in darkness. It'll be like a dawn that is suddenly breaking. This light illumines every secret place. This light that we know as Jesus gives direction. This light drives away fear. The path that we are on as humans and this place we call Earth, it can often be obscured by shadows, unknowing, uncertainty, and once again, fear. But this light of Jesus allows the truth to suddenly come into view. And that when we follow this light, we are led into a deeper life. And that's when we encounter the psalmist today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Whom then shall I be afraid? Isaiah, the psalm, all a message of hope that those walking in the darkness will see a light. And my friends, more than anything, as what we do as followers of Christ, what following Jesus is all about is hope. Hope. Hope of a new way of life that we understand in a deeper way through Jesus Christ. Hope in a new life, just like all of those Christians in Corinth talking about their baptism into new life and trying to make meaning of it. As Christians in a faith that is quite spiritual, in practice, it's when we embody these ways of being that our light, the light of Jesus, is not only seen, but heard. My friends, how does your life speak to the light of Christ? When we encounter Jesus today, Jesus picks up where John the Baptist left off. He learns that John has been in prison, has been arrested. And that launches into the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, we don't know much about John and Jesus' relationship. We do know that they were related, that they were cousins, that their mothers were sisters. And we know that John came before Jesus to start to tell the story of the new light, that the prophecies will be fulfilled in this person that is coming after him. And so Jesus learns of John's imprisonment and heads out to begin his ministry. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of Israel and Syria, the land there. Many people say that the land of where Jesus was, the topography, is the fifth gospel. That it speaks so much and enriches so much of what we hear and understand about the people and the earth. And if you look where Jerusalem is, in the southern part of Israel, it's very rocky, hard earth, laborious to farm. But Jesus chooses to begin his ministry in the region of Galilee. The transition from where the southern part of Israel and Jerusalem up to Galilee, though not far in terms of what we would consider traveling distance with cars, the difference is quite noticeable. The air is more moist. The grass is greener. The earth is lush. There's an easiness about the place. And I've always thought, of course, Jesus started his ministry on the coast. And as he goes toward this new region in Capernaum, picking up where John left off, it happens quite quickly when he calls his followers. I wonder what it was like to be Jesus at this time, knowing that he has been chosen, that he is the Son of God, that he is the one that is to bring about the fulfillment and the hope of a new age, the hope of a new ruler, the hope of moving away from dark and gloom to hope and life, all sits within him and his ministry. That must have been daunting. I often think that Jesus, as a Jewish person, probably leaned on the words of Psalm 27 quite often. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? For it's in the day of trouble he shall keep me safe. I'm sure Jesus was quite afraid. He was human after all. But as Jesus calls these disciples, as we will come to know them, two sets of brothers, mind you, Andrew and Simon, and then immediately James and John. I don't know how many of you have siblings, but I can imagine they didn't always get along. Which once again leads us to the church in Corinth. Why do we argue among each other? Because living in family is hard. But living with Christ is easy. For the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor has been broken for you on this day. So the word that is chosen here as Jesus makes the call to his disciples is immediately. Jesus calls them and immediately, not they went home and prayed about it, not next week, not in a little while, not after they cleared it up with all of their friends and family. It says immediately. Immediately they left their boat and their father and they followed him. Immediately they knew that they had seen something that they had been waiting for a long, long time. That their ancestors had hoped for a long, long time. It's interesting, too, that Jesus called fishermen. Fishermen would have been at the lower social strata at that time, in that age. Nothing special about fishermen. But then Jesus knows that the skills that they have, he can use that to explain, from now on, you will fish for people. Now, how many of us have ever been fishing? There's a reason they call it fishing and not catching. And if you fish with a net, it's quite a skill. The fish are smart. It's like they can see it coming out of the water, out of the sky, into the water. Trying to use a hook and bait, even harder. So Jesus doesn't say you're always going to be successful in your journey. Jesus doesn't use the analogy of always getting it right. He uses the analogy of the fishermen and calls the fishermen because they know what it's like to go out in a boat and come back empty-handed. Because they know what it's like to lose faith and wonder if this is the right path. So he says, follow me and I will teach you to fish for people, because you will understand when people are called to follow and they're not quite sure. And you will understand when you encounter someone who is resistant, and you will know that it is okay because you have planted a light. And when they immediately leave, there is an opening and a surrender. The way of Jesus is about hope, and the way of Jesus is about surrender. As human beings, we desire so much to be able to control something, especially when things seem so out of control. Jesus is inviting us to a way of life that is letting go of control and opening the grips in our palms and lifting our hands up in surrender. And I believe that for many of us, maybe all of us, that is a daily battle. Opening our hands in surrender. Control can look like many things. I invite you this week to think about those things that you notice you want to control. And like Simon and Andrew and James and John, I invite you to immediately let it go and follow Jesus. Hope and surrender. Just as the light of day will begin to linger a little longer, we are called to be the light even when we feel we are in the darkness. If we're a light to one another, then we can shine the way when people fall away or are afraid. We can remind people that it is the Lord who will protect us and will never let us go. But with that comes a great deal, not only of hope, but also surrender. What is it in your life that you are hanging on to with your fist clenched and tightened? What is the net, the boat, the family, the security that God is inviting you to surrender? Amen.